Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most overrated player in baseball, Aaron Judge?
He just hit into a double play to end the game, was it? Or whatevs. Yeah. They did show it on ESPN, though. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. DeGrom comes back, Scherzer and Bassett, the Mets will win the World Series.
The Mets will win the World Series?
With that pitching? Did you see Scherzer last night?
Yeah, 11 strikeouts.
11 strikeouts in his first game back.
Right out of the gate.
In his first game back, Scherzer and DeGrom.
Now do Ryan Stanek. He's got like a .67.
.67 ERA, yeah, great.
So...
He's got 16 strikeouts and 14 walks.
Have you seen DeGrom's numbers?
No, DeGrom is stupid. No, it's like he's little. It's like it's a little league dominant pitcher.
He throws some pitches that are a little bit. Yeah, they're a little bit.
Now, can scary. He stay, can he be on the field? Here's the problem: is he got hurt early, so he's going to be here late.
Dude, and he's 34 years old now. I didn't realize DeGrom was that old.
And he is dominant. I'm scared. I am. I was scared of Seattle, too, though, but I'm not anymore.
His ERA this year.
Just so you know, I don't think Seattle's going to be making a run.
He's 7-2 this year. The ERA is actually not that great. It's a 1.08. But 92 innings pitched. This is like a video game. Somebody made everything on 99. 92 innings pitched, 40 hits.
What's his
146
whip?
Strikeouts.
146 in 92 innings. No.
No, I mean, that's last year. He hasn't pitched this year. These are his numbers last year.
Yeah.
92, 40, 146. Yeah, no, he hadn't pitched this year, but 92, 40, 146. 146 strikeouts in 92 innings.
No, he is a video game.
That was 14.3 strikeouts per nine.
Yeah. It's stupid.
The year before that, he was 13.8. His last 2 years, and this is the problem. Now, 2020, you know, you had a COVID year, but still he only had 12 starts, 68 innings pitch. He's only thrown 151 innings.
So he's fresh.
Yeah, I guess for the last 2 years.
No, but I'm telling you.
Jacob DeGrom's numbers
are just comes back and he is DeGrom with Scherzer and Bassett, and possibly Carrasco. I guess you need Carrasco. I don't know.
How about he didn't?
They are.
Can you believe this? He didn't even start in the majors until he was 26. That's rare for a pitcher of this caliber to not even get his start until he was 26. But he started 22 games. Like, he was a full-time starter. But, you know, in an era where you've had Greinke during that time frame, Verlander, of course, you know, Cole's come on since he's been an Astro. He was good with the Pirates. Scherzer's been one of the best he's one of the best in this generation. Yeah.
He's a
obviously
Hall of Famer. Kershaw.
Kershaw, you've got anyone else with the Dodgers? Not really. But these are some of the greats in this era. And you look at Jacob deGrom, and he doesn't have the wins. He got to 15 wins one season. He was 15-10 with a 353. Big deal. 7-8 with a 304. But in 2018, he led the league with a 1.70 ERA, and he was 10-9. What are you going to do
with
the Mets?
That's very Nolan Ryan of him.
11-8, and he was a 243. 4-2, 238. 7-2, 108. Like his last 4 years, the hits per innings pitched, the FIP numbers, his WHIP numbers are all. He's been under one for the last year's WHIP was 0.554. Is that the lowest in history? It didn't even show that being the league lead for a starter.
Well, he might not have qualified with number of starts.
Must not have qualified, but no. 15 starts doesn't qualify? Maybe not.
No.
92 innings pitch.
No,
maybe that's it.
No.
Has anyone ever had a 5.54 ever in history? That's the lowest I've ever heard of in my life.
That's unbelievable. Well, what's
his strikeouts to walk last year, 13.27-1. The year before he was 5.78. Was Strami two times in us?
Did you see Scherzer? He's got What number of starts with 10 plus strikeouts and zero walks? It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
You mean career?
Career, yeah. I'm telling you, these Mets are going to be a problem for
us.
Yeah,
but I hope
when
we're
in the World Series.
Hurt.
I mean, we already saw Scherzer in a World Series.
I don't really care about them except for the fact that, when we get them in the World Series after we beat the Yankees,
yeah,
it'll be cool to beat New York.
Well, it'll be great.
That'll be great.
Yeah. That'll be great. 7378037776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Apparently there is the CBA allows for the commissioner to add legends to the All-Star roster. Do you want to see Albert Pujols in the All-Star game?
I'd be fine with it.
I would too.
I'd be fine with it. Kind of a hat tip at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And he played in Anaheim, obviously. I would be fine with the legends thing. I think that's pretty cool because they're not going to get voted on unless they're really good. And if you're at a legends category, you're probably not good enough. Now, mostly that's going to be hitters, because if you're a pitcher facing all-stars and you're a legend like Zach Greinke, you're going to get embarrassed. It's one thing to go out and take an at-bat and strike out. It's another to go out and get raked at an all-star game if you're a pitcher.
Yeah.
Where they're just smashing you all over the yard.
Should they? Oh, they're showing Jordan's throw home. He was a bit short of the track, but Throw him out at home. That's a beauty. That is a beauty, Jordan. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody in the American League? Is there anybody else that you could bring to the All-Star game to even it out? You got one crappy guy. We got one crappy guy. But he's a legend.
I mean, Zach Greinke.
Greinke might be it.
He's that legend. But like I said, you can't really do it with a pitcher because they'll get embarrassed.
Mad Bum, but he's in the National League. That'd be two National Leaguers.
Mm-hmm. A hitter in the American League. Yuli? It's starting to feel like Yuli is kind of headed in that direction.
I don't know.
He's hit better, but
the guy who did the Chino thing, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's part of the trash can banging in the Chino eyes. By the way, same year. Same season, trash can Chino.
He got suspended longer for the Chino thing than he did for cheating.
I know.
For grabbing his eyes, he got suspended 5 games when he got nothing for cheating all year. That's just awesome. I love that. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It is 9:12, and it is time for you to talk about a great plate.
Let's talk about this time. The Great Plate Company has... they got the new Italian restaurant that's I think it's just getting ready to open or may have opened. I need to check with Paul, but I want to tell you about Union Kitchen. I talked about Jack's Grill before. Paul Miller, the owner, also owns the Union Kitchen, and a lot of what he did was based on his time of when he spent his college years at Purdue. He was a football player at Purdue, and you'll see Paul every once in a while. He's got front row seats with the basketball team here and the pro football team, the baseball team. Like, he's a huge sports fan, but, and that's why he always wants to have a place that's accessible. That's the kind of guy he is. And when you go to Union Kitchen, you can get some great food and a little bit more sophisticated dishes. But you're always going to have the type of dishes that I think speak to just every palate out there. Burgers, you have fish dishes, you have great craft cocktails to choose from, a great selection of local beers and wines. If you're looking for a great brunch, he's got one of the best brunches that you're going to find. It includes his beignets that they serve. They've got a breakfast pizza like you've never had before, terrific biscuits and gravy, bananas Foster French toast, and then one of my all-time favorites is that lobster, Peggy's Lobster. It's a lobster it's a lobster omelet that I think is one of the tastiest things you're going to find on the entire menu there for their brunch. So if you love to have a brunch where you get the best of both worlds there on the weekend, don't miss out on all the brunch items over at the Union Kitchen. But they're also open and ready for you with a ton of items on the menu for every taste bud and every palate, whether it's lunch or whether it's dinner at the Union Kitchen. 6 locations around the Houston area and a great spot to go have a larger party. They can accommodate you as well. TheUnionKitchen.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. The Godfather of Houston Sports Radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, Chris Hassel is going to join us from CBS Sports. We'll talk about just what's going on. There's so much speculation about. So if you're Oregon, what do? You weigh down the Big Ten?
Yep. I mean, you know, I don't know what the plan is to maybe the Pac-12 teams come together with Big 12 teams and the best of the WAC, the Big 12, not the WAC, but Mountain West. I don't know. I mean, Utah's a player, right? Utah's a player in the Midwest. Is Colorado a player?
No. Here's the deal. Because right now the Big 12 is offering, said, hey, Washington, Oregon, Arizona State, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, come on over. Come on over. But if I'm Oregon, I don't know if I want that invitation. I'm not taking that.
I don't either because I think you're settling. I think you have to wait for the Big Ten. But, I mean, the fact is, I don't know. Everyone's acting like there's only going to be 2 conferences. This just doesn't make sense to me to have. What's the point of even a conference?
Yeah.
Why don't you just say it's just college football and have no conferences? And because I don't understand.
Well, scheduling purpose.
These super conferences are going to have, what, 24 teams eventually?
Yeah.
For what?
Oh, yeah, right.
Because then you're going to break those into 2 conferences, a 12-team and a 12-team.
It's going to be 24, it's going to be 48, and that's going to be your Division I football.
Yeah, but it's going to be a 12 and a 12, right, to make more sense. So you still have 4 conferences.
Right.
I don't understand it. Like, you're still going to have 4 conferences. You're all going to be considered Big Ten. Do you change the name of Big Ten? That's a stupid name when you got 24 teams.
Yeah, no. All the
because you know who's not changing her name? SEC. We ain't changing for nothing.
Well, they don't put a number in it. That's a smart thing to do.
That's right.
The Big Ten hasn't been
Pac 10, Big 8,
Big 12 hasn't been 12. The Big Ten hasn't been 10. I don't know what the hell are you. Just get rid of the numbers, dummies.
And listen to how hard it is to chant that. This is easier. Big 10, Big 10. Big 12. See, Big 12 doesn't sound as clean. Pac-12, SEC. You see the 3 syllables? SEC. Boom, boom, boom. It's the rhythmic. And Texas, y'all got to start working on this. I cannot stress this enough.
Well,
you've got to start working on your SEC chance.
Well, here's the – see, I thought it was so perfect. In a perfect world, you have the 16 teams. You have 4 pods. You play your 3 teams every year, and then you play a mixture of the other 3 pods every other year, and it just works out just perfect. Now they're going to add Clemson. Now they're going to add Miami. They're going
to
add
Florida State. You can't keep those teams out.
They're going to. I know, But you know what? It was perfect scheduling-wise. A nine-team SEC schedule. You play Texas plays against Florida every other year, plays against Alabama every other year. How perfect is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just Oklahoma plays against – I mean, it's just – it would make for big games. I was listening to Colin Cowherd the other day, and he made a huge point. He said – and it's been the case. How many weeks do we go in college football where there's no big game? It happens a lot. It happens a lot. No, it like the second week of the year, you're like, where's the big game? Where's the,
yeah,
there's
we
no
do.
Big game. Everybody's playing somebody crappy.
I'd say maybe 3 weeks
out
of the year. I mean, that's a good percentage. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a decent percentage, but it also helps if some of the classically good teams were more classically good. Like if Texas was a factor more often.
Absolutely.
If Florida was a factor more often. If, you know, if Oregon was good again. Like legitimately good, if Washington or, you know, if USC was a bigger factor. A lot of these teams that we're used to being, you know, that a lot of teams that are powerhouse teams just haven't.
No.
It's a smaller, it's just a smaller set of good teams now.
Yeah. You know, and he actually, he was making a pretty good, you got to have, we need bigger, we need it to be a much bigger and better, and we need to have. Maybe we do have to get this down to 48 teams where there are big games every week, where there are games that matter towards a national title. The only games that matter anymore are Georgia, Alabama games, Clemson games, and Ohio State games. The only games that matter ever. And that's not good for college football. It's just not. That USC is potentially good again. I wonder how pissed Lincoln Riley is that he left Oklahoma because they were moving to the SEC. He didn't want to be
There's a good chance.
And he's like, wait a minute. I just left there so I didn't have to play in a big conference. I want to win. Well, now I got to go to the Big Ten?
Yeah, but truth be told, I think you'd rather be in the Big Ten than the SEC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You still got Northwesterns and Minnesotas and Iowas.
I mean, name the – yeah, you did. I mean, Ohio State. Ohio State always is there always a factor.
Yeah, Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State.
I mean, it's not a bunch of layups, but it's also not a bunch of the SEC they've definitely had their years recently where the SEC wasn't that tough. Where the Alabama and Georgia were the tough ones. And then LSU has either been they had that one year where they were really good and the rest of the years has just been
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't want to run into them that year.
No.
But the rest of the years, LSU's not a major factor. A&M's not been major dangerous factors. It's like
no, but it's week in and week out. You're playing the best defensive tackles in the country. You're playing a great offensive lines. I mean, you get beat up. A&M, while they weren't great because they didn't have their quarterback play.
I wouldn't just crap on the Big Ten. They have some players over there too.
Yeah.
They have some players over there too. Those are the two best conferences in terms of cranking out NFL talent. But the whole alignment is you're just concentrating everything in two conferences, and eventually you're going to have to split out. You're going to split into, you know, divisions anyway that are going to be geographically based. They have to be.
You better grab on at University of Houston. You better grab on.
That's what I'm worried about. U of H.
Yeah, I am too. 713-780-3776.
Basketball. How much does basketball? Like you have to factor in basketball for Duke, stinky football team.
Kansas,
terrible football team. But the basketball is so important at Duke, at Kansas, at North Carolina, which they've been okay in football. But Duke and Kansas, right? Good basketball programs. Does Kansas get a pass just because they're
Kentucky.
That good on Kentucky? Well, but they're SEC, so they're shielded by the teat, by the mother's milk. But are you really like Kansas has to get a pass, don't they?
Kansas almost has to, yeah.
You almost have to because of how good you've made your...
Yeah, but do you
what
notice,
about U of H?
You notice, nobody's talking about them, bringing them along. Nobody's talking
I haven't
about
heard him. Anything about because you know what? The money is football. The money is football, but you would be bringing them along. They're the Vanderbilt of your football conference. But does Houston, like, I really...
More desirable, Houston or Kansas to a conference?
I mean...
Houston.
Yes, but here's my concern. Kansas has had a long run into the 80s. They were really Danny Manning. I mean, it's been a long run for Kansas. if with Houston, yeah, but they bring
nothing to the table.
Are you totally dependent upon just the head coach with Houston? That's the concern, is in basketball, if Kelvin Sampson were to leave, like, does all that go bye-bye?
Well, the son takes over.
Well, but that's not Kelvin.
No.
So, I mean, I would hope and Houston would be.
That always works out great when the son takes over.
I know. I would hope Houston
sign the Thompsons.
Sign the Thompsons. Sign the McNairs.
Sign the Patino.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, not McNairs. Good Lord.
Well, the son took over.
That's not a college basketball program.
The son took over. You just said when the son takes over.
Oh, that always works out great. All right, 713-780-3776. Chris Hassel joins us on the other side here at CBS Sports. A CBS Sports host and college football and basketball play-by-play guy. We'll talk to him about all this on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chris Hassel joining us right now, CBS Sports, to talk about what's going on college football-wise. Chris, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's certainly interesting times. Cannot get enough of this because it changes by the day and sometimes by the hour.
Right, absolutely. So we were just talking about Oregon a little bit and what you do if you're Oregon. You know, the Big 12 is calling. They in Washington and some of the other Big 12, Pac-12 schools. But if you're Oregon, don't you just sit and wait? Don't you wait for one of the bigger conferences to come calling?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that best case scenario for Oregon right now would be the Big Ten. And I think, I mean, from everything I've heard, Oregon and Washington would go to the Big Ten right now if that was an option. I think the Big Ten might be waiting to see what unfolds with a Notre Dame, for instance. But if you're Oregon, if you're Washington, if you're one of these Pac-12 teams, I think you've got to jump. And if the Big Ten is offering, then you go, because at least with the Big Ten, you still can set up these, you know, regional games with USC and UCLA and maybe more. But I mean, right now it's just a fight between the Pac-12 and the Big 12 for, okay, what are we going to do? Is the Big 12 going to eat up the rest of the Pac-12? Is the Pac-12 going to be able to survive and maybe take some Big 12 teams? I mean, and then you got the ACC kind of sitting off all by itself, locked in until 2036 to their grant of rights. So there's so much up in the air. As I'm sure you guys know, the move by USC and UCLA was just the beginning of this latest round of maneuvering.
There's, you know, I think a lot of people find it interesting that Notre Dame, but probably not unpredictable, that Notre Dame is sitting there like, yeah, we don't feel any urgency. We're Notre Dame. Is there ever a time that Notre Dame doesn't just do Notre Dame? I mean, everyone assumes this is going to push them out of typical Notre Dame way of thinking, but it doesn't look like they're in any hurry to join up forces with anyone else. It's almost like they think that no matter what happens, they'll always have a seat at the table.
And, you know, I'm from Iowa, Big Ten country. I've always wanted Notre Dame to join the Big Ten, and it's just never happened. And I want them to join the Big Ten now, but from their standpoint, they just keep getting more and more valuable, and they're still wanted. Even with all the changes we've had over the last, whether it's 1 year or 10 years or 20 years, Notre Dame, it's not like their value has gone down because they're independent. Their value is still way up because they're the one, you know, that star that you're trying to grab to bring into the conference. And will that ever go away? I don't know. Now, I mean, this is going to reshape everything. And I think it's all going to come down to what kind of a playoff that we're going to have. because I think it sounds like it's going to be multiple playoffs. It's going to be, you know, maybe the Big Ten and the SEC have their own playoff. And then, you know, the rest of the FBS, if you will, has their playoff. I mean, we're hearing reports today that the ACC and the Pac-12 are discussing a loose partnership and they could end up playing a championship game at the end of their season against one another. Would that funnel into a playoff? I don't know. But I think the only way Notre Dame's going to join a conference is if they fear that they're going to be somehow left out of the major playoff, the major payoff, and they can just see a lot more money by joining a conference. And until then, I think they're happy being independent. But I think something's going to happen soon. I mean, it has to. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen soon because this whole thing is being revamped ahead of the end of the college football playoff contract, which is in 2026. That's the end of things. I think by then we would have to know, is Notre Dame going to be a part of a conference, or are we still going to allow them to schedule whoever the heck they want and join the biggest playoff at the end of it? Don't know yet.
Chris Hassel, CBS Sports, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our fear here is University of Houston is going to be left out. This could be a 48-team thing by the time it's all said and done, maybe in the 50s, but Houston's still a bubble team. Let me ask you this, Chris. We were just talking about it. More desirable to we know which is more desirable football-wise, but more desirable to a conference, University of Houston or Kansas?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that last segment, and that is fascinating because, you know, you'd think on the surface, Kansas, name brand, blue blood basketball, national championships, but football is the thing that's running all of this. It's football and then everything else. I mean, UCLA and USC, they go to the Big Ten. It's football. Like you think UCLA basketball, the biggest brand in college basketball, that's like just a secondary thing. That's like, okay, great, we get USC basketball too, or UCLA basketball too. I think it's closer than some might think because of the huge market, Houston, and being in Texas. And the football programs. I mean, Houston's arrow is up. Kansas has been the doormat of college football for a long time. So I think that they could be looked at as equally valuable. And if you're just going by how decisions are made these days, which is football is all that matters, I think you could definitely argue for Houston. But I mean, I'd be worried too if I was a fan of a Big 12 team or a Pac-12 team or an ACC team. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I mean, I think there's enough room for another wave of teams, whether that wave of teams joins up with the SEC and the Big 10, or they create, you know, if there's a Pac-12, Big 12 merger. I think there's room for a third super conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Houston could be a part of that. But, yeah, I mean, I right now anything is possible, unfortunately. And it sucks because, I mean, I've always wanted a big playoff, just one big playoff for the FBS. The FCS does it. They've been doing it for a long time. But the FCS or the FBS right now, it's all football. It's all money. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter where you are in the country. It doesn't matter how good or bad your basketball program or Olympic sports might be. This is all of these schools and conferences just going for the biggest paycheck, period.
Yeah. Well, it's about money. Chris, it's always about the money. We know that, right? I mean, honestly,
oh, yeah.
USC is there anything in the back of their mind? Now, UCLA was in a lot of financial problems. They had a lot of financial mm-hmm. problems. They were talking about possibly losing all their sports because of how big a debt they were in. But don't you feel any whatsoever? You've been in the Pac-12 forever, and you just abandon, just out of nowhere, you just abandon them? Is there no integrity at all in this deal?
Clearly not. No, not with these schools and these conferences. And it works both ways. I mean, we saw it last year with the quote unquote alliance, you know, Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, the commissioners get in a room and they come out of there and they say, you know what, we didn't even need a signed agreement. All we need is a handshake and a look in the eye, and you know, we are together. And then what does Kevin Warren of the Big Ten do? He goes out and he grabs the LA schools out of the Pac-12 a year later. I mean, it does not matter. It what one conference or school says right now, they could do the exact opposite a year from now or 24 hours from now. It's all about securing the biggest piece of the pie. And unfortunately, fans lose big time. I mean, I love college sports because of the tradition and the rivalries. And, you know, geographically, you're close to your rivals and you play them every single year. And talk to a West Virginia fan. You know, West Virginia went to the Big 12, I don't know what that was, 10 years ago. They're not happy. I mean, they don't play any of their close geographical rivals. They don't have any rivals in the Big 12. Like, they might be making more money, the school, but the fans aren't happy. The fans didn't like what, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, like you said, UCLA and USC, they were in that Pacific Conference for almost 100 years. They both joined back in the 20s, and now they're joining the Big Ten, which is when I grew up, it was 10 teams, and then they added Penn State in 93 or so. And when things started getting out of hand is when they jumped from Rutgers and Maryland, and it just hasn't been the same since. And it's really bad for the fan, and unfortunately, I don't know that it gets any better, just because they're going for basically a semi-professional league where you can make the most money so that you can pay the players, and you can pay your coaches, and you can pay the buyouts when you want to fire the coach.
Chris Hassel with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you get rid of the dead weight, though, Chris, let's say, you know, if the Rutgers go by the wayside and the Kansas football and you know, hey, sorry, well, you know, West Virginia, you got to pick it up.
Though.
You got to pick it up. No, absolutely. But if you get rid of the dead weight and you get to a 48-team Division I, which is actually the best of the best, now you got, can you make the argument that football might even be better? Because you're playing, you got to play against really good competition every week.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would argue that the matchups would be better, the games would be better, and higher competition, and maybe even the playoff at the end of the year is like the NFL. But at the same time, you're losing a lot of the traditions, yeah, and the rivalries and everything that a lot of college football fans love about the sport, and you're also casting off, you're going to have to cast off probably, I would think, universities, institutions that have been a part of a specific conference for a long time. Like, I mean, SEC would be a lot better if they just got rid of Vanderbilt, right? Get rid of Vanderbilt, bring another athletic giant in. And I think they would have their own playoff, yeah. And I just don't know. Yeah, I just think you lose a lot, because a lot of what I love about college sports is the pageantry, the fact that you play your rivals every year. You've got these old stories about all these, you know, these games that your grandfather, you know, went to against that specific school, and all that's going away because it is becoming more of a pro model. But along those lines of what you said, it would be nice to not get two or three non-conference games a year where you know the outcome of the game. You know, the Bethune-Cookmans of the world,
right?
You know, the team that just comes in for the payday, and you're bringing them in just so you can get an extra home game and get that gate and get that win. I've never been a fan of that, but I think that what you would be giving up is a lot more. And I don't even know that would still be – that might still be a thing. Like, we get these super conferences and we get this 48-team super league that goes into a playoff at the end of the year. They might still get to schedule two patsies throughout the year.
Okay, it could happen. That's Chris Hassel right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, CBS Sports and Stadium. You can hear his work and all play-by-play, college football, and basketball as well. Chris, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us. We enjoyed it. Let's do it again.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Good show.
All right. There's Chris Hassel right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is too bad because there's going to be the fans of college football that love the pageantry and the history and the tradition and some of the matchups. Let's face it. I mean, I was bummed out when Nebraska stopped playing Oklahoma every
game.
What
about Texas and A&M?
When Texas A&M. When Texas created their own revenue stream with Longhorn Network, it created hard feelings across the Big 12. And it's I'm not blaming all this stuff on them. I'm just saying there have been things that have been going on more than just over the last 2 years. This has been in the making.
Yep.
This kind of thing has been coming, but it really is sad that there's a lot of people who just look at this as just another pro league. And why does everything have to be the pros? I don't understand why everything needs to be professional football. It's a lower level.
Yeah.
It's college football. It's its own thing.
Do
you think all this that he said, if you didn't have the one and
done. It's been big business for a while, Lance.
Yeah, I know. But if you didn't have the one and done's in college basketball, then college basketball would be accounted for more. Let's face it. One and done's have made college basketball. It used to be college football and college basketball. They weren't that far apart.
Yep.
In terms of people's love of college basketball. Now it's a joke. It's not even close. A lot of people don't care about college basketball at all until they're filling out brackets. And then they don't even know the teams they're filling winners out for. Like, Missouri? Who's their best player? I don't know. Derek Chivas? No, he's like 56.
When we come back, news of the weird coming your way. All right, we got that coming your way, brought to you by Simple Seats. Don't you go anywhere. You never want to miss News of the Weird.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is interesting. A story in the New York Post today. Apparently, school board director Jen Mason, she is going to teach a class to a 9-year-olds on sexual pleasure. Do you want... How old is Maddie?
Who is this?
She's the school board director.
That's what I thought you said.
Washington State school board director.
Oh, Washington State's different.
Yeah.
They're totally different.
The Washington State school board director who owns a sex shop.
We used to have that one lady on our show, on our station.
Yeah, right.
Here.
She used to teach us about sexual pleasure. But what's her name? All older than 9.
We were older than 9?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an introduction to topics related to relationships, puberty, bodies, and sexuality. I don't know. How old is Monty?
She's 11.
She's 11.
She would have a problem.
She would not.
She would have a problem with
at
this.
At 9, how would she have enjoyed this class?
Same as at 11. No difference.
No. Have you ever been
bitten? She would have said these other girls are chashy.
Have you ever been bitten by a skunk?
Nope. I didn't know skunks could bite.
Apparently they can.
Rabies.
A woman has zombie flesh-eating disease after being bitten by a skunk.
That doesn't sound good.
Zombie flesh-eating
disease. Is there a
picture of her? No, there's a picture of a skunk. Sharon Evans. It looks like a zombie has bitten me. Looks like something ate my skin. Do you want to ever get bit by a skunk?
No, I don't want to be anywhere near a skunk.
No. No.
I don't get sprayed by a skunk. I'd rather get sprayed than bitten.
Much more.
Yeah, so you know how you stop the spray? So this is how I have, I come from a farm family. My parents grew up in Kansas. Do you know how you, like the dogs used to get sprayed by skunks? You know how you have to, what you have to do to get rid of it?
Tomato juice?
That's it.
Yeah.
It's tomato juice. How would anyone know that now?
Right, right.
No one would know that now.
No, you'd look it up on the internet. And it'd say,
how do you get rid of skunk smell? Easy. Cologne. Axe body spray.
No.
Oh, tomato juice. That's a lot of tomato juice.
So, you're going to have weddings coming up. What do you think about this idea?
No, I'm not.
Well, yes, you are. Your kids are going to get married. Yeah, and you're going to have to pay for it. Yeah.
Gross.
What about this? Charging the guests for unlimited drinks. How do you think? What do you?
I love it.
You love
that
idea?
It's a great idea.
Yeah, if you're paying for the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a little tacky to charge?
Sure.
To charge 10 pounds.
But they're eating 10 pounds. That's it?
Yeah. To their honeymoon or a new house fund, which is actually plus a $5 tip to the bartender. £15.
I'm already thinking 50.
Yeah, it'd be more than that. Unlimited 10 drinks?
10 pounds.
Unlimited drinks?
Mary Jo Rapini, KJ reminded me.
Yeah, Mary Jo.
She was the one that, where AJ and her going back and forth and stuff. I'm like, I don't think these things can be on radio. I don't think you're supposed to say these things.
No, it was an uncomfortable segment. There's no question about it.
Hey, you're saying that.
Hey, did you see that rapper Spottum got arrested?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yeah, what did he do? He's a good-looking dude.
He's got his hair looks like a giant derby top hat.
It's he's got a lot going on. What did he get? I can't remember.
Spottum got him.
But what did he get arrested for?
He tried to get away from police on a jet ski.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they got him.
And they caught
him. Oh, I saw an actual video of it. That's what I saw.
Yeah, you saw the video of it?
Well, was it a jet ski or a boat?
I just if I could change my name, I'd change it to Spottum got him.
Spottum got him, pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
What if you're a poker player named Spottum got him?
You would be a great, great poker player.
People would, when you bluff, they got out.
Oh, no. Spottum got him. Okay.
Every time you won a hand, you called a bluff. You said, I'll call. They're 3-5 or 2-5.
Right.
You go, 8. Spottum got him. You're like, every hand, that's what you do.
That would be awesome.
Spottum got him. And they'd be like, God, I hate playing with Spottum got him.
Spottum
got him. He's the worst.
He's the worst poker player.
He's drunk off Coors Lights all the time. He's just screaming, Spottum got him. Even when people blind out, he yells, Spottum got him.
San Antonio man, Pablo Ruiz, no longer with us. Apparently, he lit fireworks on his head. Do you think that's a good place to set off fireworks?
No, this is what I've said this before. It's an ugly thing to say, but also sometimes, you know, Darwin takes care of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just...
It's called Darwinism.
It's Darwinism.
It is. No.
The Darwin Awards are a real award.
It's a real thing. You know what else is a real thing?
Vanessa
Ngalot.
Yep. It's actually a real thing where both people are actually here.
At the same time. Yeah.
And Josh Beard, just in case.
It happened yesterday. We can't guarantee it's happening today, though. Okay.
Spot him, got him.
Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Maryland Rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.